Life is a highway. I want to ride it all night long.
Here we go, Rascal Flatts with the baseball bat.
Yes, Grace Youth Podcast. Yes, Grace Youth Podcast. Yes, Grace Youth Podcast. Yeah, it's Grace Youth Podcast.
Welcome back to the Grace Youth Podcast. It has been a long time since we recorded, but hey, we're back. It's been a busy couple months, and we're excited to jump back into it. Our guest is Danny DiNardo. He is our youth, used to be our youth resident. He is now graduated, and he is getting ready for his next life stages. How you doing, Danny?
I'm doing good, man. It's sad hearing you say former youth resident. It just feels weird, but at least you weren't like Joe at the move. 3 days before I finished residency, he called me a volunteer in front of everybody. So.
I heard David walked up. He's like, dude, volunteer is crazy. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, Danny got called a volunteer. I'm like, oh, that's crazy.
I didn't even finish residency. Just 2 years, instantly a volunteer, even though I had 3 days left. But yeah, man.
That's just how Joe treats everybody, I guess.
That's just how Joe is.
Yeah, he's just...
I'm just kidding. We love Joe. Yeah. As he's on sabbatical, just talking crap about him.
Maybe he'll listen to this on sabbatical. Probably not.
Maybe we'll get a California badge.
Oh, yeah. Do you think he's still in California?
I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
It's whatever.
All right. We got two icebreaker questions here. The first one, I know you travel a lot, and you travel a lot alone.
Mm-hmm.
I think you went, two times you went alone? One to Colorado.
Yep. One to Colorado, and then one to Virginia, West Virginia.
Yeah. So my question for you is, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be and why?
I'm torn.
Yeah?
I'm torn between Switzerland and Montana.
Dang.
Those are complete opposite ends. I have two different reasons.
Okay.
So I had a buddy that lived in Montana for a semester while he was in college.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was like the most beautiful place that he's been to. He's like, dude, you could touch the stars.
That's
crazy.
Like,
it was incredible. One of the students just went to Montana. I saw the pictures. I was jealous. I'd love to be out in Montana. Dude, just like a little ranch, middle of nowhere, just surrounded by mountains.
Dude.
Sounds amazing.
That's the same. Like, I have always wanted to go to Montana, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it sometime. I don't know when.
Dude, let's do it right now.
Right now, let's just cut off the podcast. Yeah, let's just leave. All right, second question. I asked this question to Rosie in our last podcast, but I wanted to keep it because I think you're going to have something really good, and so I'm just like, I got to ask Danny. All right, what is the most embarrassing thing that happened to you?
That I've done or that's happened to me?
Either one.
I think I have to go with a safe bet of that I deserve this. Oh, <dude. laughs> from 2 years ago.
You got to explain it.
A year ago. Oh, gosh. This has been... I'm still embarrassed by this. It's bad. We're at a youth leader retreat. All the youth leaders. Joe's being brought up a lot in this.
It's just that it's guy, just you know?
Him and I are playing Madden. And I was like... I was winning by a lot, so I stopped taking it serious. I was like joking around with him, and then he starts to come back, and he almost beats me. But I got an interception with a couple seconds left in the fourth. And this is like midnight. This is midnight prefaces. And I got up from the chair, and I said really loudly, I deserve this.
Dude, I was there, and literally Danny jumps up out of the chair, and he's like a little kid. He's like, I deserve this. He says it so high-pitched. And Joe just turns and looks at him. He's like, what in the world?
I think you, Jordy, and Bill were there.
Yeah.
And that was over a year ago.
Yeah.
Hasn't been let down since.
Nope.
It gets brought up.
It never will. It never will.
Dude, it's been brought up like once a week, sometimes multiple times a week.
Yeah, dude. So before we go on to this question, I guess I'm going to ask a question like, what are you doing now with, you know, what's your next plans in life now that you're done with the residency?
Yeah, so this summer I'm just working a lot. I'm attending young adults now, which I'm really happy about. And then in August, I'm moving to Chicago to go to Moody Bible Institute. 4 years for a biblical studies undergrad, and then hopefully becoming a youth pastor after.
Dude, that's so sick. I'm so excited. Yeah. It's like I see you doing that, and I know you're going to do so well on that. And I'm like just super excited to see the fruit that comes out of it and see what God has for you like during it and after it.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
But I'm also really sad.
Yeah, but dude, you're visiting me every weekend.
Yeah, every weekend I'm coming out.
Every weekend. You're not going to see Sarah. You're going to come see me.
Yeah. All right, here's our question. If you break up with someone, is there a certain time before you should date again, or is it just when you feel ready? All right, I'm going to set this up. I'm going to say I'm a high schooler because I don't think, you know, middle schoolers, you're not really dating at that time. Yeah. And so
you're 16 again.
I'm 16 again. I broke up with my girlfriend 2 months ago, and you know, I think I'm ready. What would you say?
It's a great question. I love this question, as I have a lot of personal experience with this question, but I want to set it up a little bit more and just go a little bit further back and bring up the question, when should you date? Because if you're breaking up with someone, you had to start dating them. It's like, it's a question of when should you date? I don't really have an age of like, oh no, you have to be 17 to start dating. What do you think on that?
Well, like what I said, middle schoolers. At high school, I would say it's like, for me, it really depends on, like, if I'm a parent and I would look at my kid and think like, okay, how mature are they in this area? And do I think they are ready for it? That's mm-hmm. how I would judge it. And sure, it might be different for all these, all my different kids.
All your different kids.
But like, my kids, you know, they might look differently, but I think it really depends on your maturity and your walk with Christ. If they're walking with Christ, you know, I pray they do, but it's like, I would judge it by that.
Yeah, I agree. I think maturity is a big step, because how many times does the Bible mention the word dating someone?
Four times.
It doesn't actually talk anything about dating. Really? It talks a lot about marriage. And so it's making this idea of there's a commitment. The Bible doesn't say, hey, when date this way. It says, no, be married this way. Respect your wife. Respect your husband. Love your wife. Love your husband. Be ready to die for your wife as Christ for the church. There's all of this. So I think like a maturity is a big thing, because a relationship's a commitment. And like, it shouldn't just be I'm just going to date someone for like 2-3 months, mm-hmm. have some fun with it, get my first kiss, and then call it quits. Just have somebody pay attention to me. Like, you got to be ready for the time. You got to be ready for the intentionality. You got to be ready for the commitment as well. And also, I think maturity is a big thing. How is your relationship with Jesus? Mm. Are you both going into this relationship of, I'm going to be focusing on Jesus the entire step of the way?
So you wouldn't say like, I should focus on my significant other?
No, you got to have Christ in the middle of it. I've been in a lot of relationships where it was just about her and I, and it was never went well. And then now I've been in relationships where it's focused on Christ, and it's been a lot better.
So you're saying like, in my relationship, I should be putting Jesus higher than my girlfriend?
Yes. Yes. I mean, you can go back to saying there shouldn't be any, you shouldn't have an idol over Jesus. Mm-hmm. And a relationship can easily become an idol. You can look at someone and say, oh, my boyfriend, girlfriend, they're the source of my faith. Mm. Well, if they're the source of your faith, that's an issue. The source of your faith should not come from a boyfriend, girlfriend. It should come from Jesus.
Yeah.
The source of your faith should not come from your pastor or your parents. Mm-hmm. It should come from Jesus and your relationship with Jesus. And going with that, you got to be equally yoked. As Paul writes, being equally yoked. And the definition of a yoke is, a yoke is a wooden cross piece that's fashioned over the necks of two animals and is attached to the plow or cart that they're in. So what they would do is they would take two animals, they'd take an older one and a younger one, put them in this yoke, and the younger one, even if it tried to like go away, like steer away, it would have to follow the older yoke mm-hmm. or the older oxen or animal because mm-hmm. that animal knew what it was doing. That animal knew the direction and knew where to go and knew what the goal was. The younger one still needed to learn. And so if you're dating someone that, let's just, hypothetical, you come to me, you're this kid. Hey, I think I'm ready to date. Oh, I'm talking to this girl, you know, she doesn't not care about God. She actually doesn't believe. I'd be like, okay, well, maybe there might be a little something. There might be an issue there because you guys aren't equally yoked.
Yeah, she's like really attractive though.
Cool, I'm glad she's attractive, man. Congrats. Looks aren't everything. Yeah, it's more about who the person is. Is this person going to care for you? Like, is this person going to love you? Is this person going to be there for you when you need it? And is this person going to actually accept you for who you are? Or Because if you just go based off looks, it can just lead to brokenness and shallowness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's say I just broke up with my girlfriend, and what are the steps for myself to make myself ready? Like, okay, I just broke up. It's been a month. Like, what steps should I be taking? And like, you know, what are the right next steps, basically?
Yeah. Do not isolate yourself. If you isolate yourself, it will only make things worse. You need to be in community. You need to find somebody you can talk to about, if it's a pastor, if it's a leader, or if it's a really close friend, brother, sister, parent, whoever it is. You need to constantly be talking about what you're going through, how you're feeling, how you're processing everything. Because if you don't and you shut down, all you're doing is stuffing down a wound and hoping that it'll close on its own, but it won't. It'll always be there.
Yeah.
Also, really leaning on God. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. That verse is a lot to me. When I went through my breakup last year, that was the first Bible verse that I read. Indy sent it to me at midnight. She sent me it. And she's like, I don't know why I'm awake, but like, here's this verse. And that verse has stuck with me ever since. Like, really how much God cares about you and how much he loves you and that he is close to you, especially when you're in pain. He's really close to you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. And I think it says a lot, considering that you went through this and you're on the next step of, you know, you're dating somebody again. And so like, as you're in this relationship now and you think about your past relationship, what are like things that you're maybe changing with your perspective and not putting that significant other on, up like higher than Jesus? Like, how is that going for you now that you're actually doing it?
Yeah. First, shout out Mary.
I wasn't going to say your name, but okay.
Have to give that. So my last relationship, we dated for 3 years. She's actually the big part of why I came back to God.
Mm-hmm.
A year into a relationship, she's like, you know, you claim to be Christian, but you don't act like it.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I was really mad at that. But then now I'm looking back, I'm like, dude, I spent that whole month that she called me out on that. I was hammered like the entire month. I was partying nonstop, just doing whatever I wanted nonstop.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so, you know, I had known her since we were 13. We started dating senior year of high school. So, I mean, I knew her at the time for 9 years. And one of the things that I needed to work on, which is something I'm working on with now, is I couldn't fully be honest with my ex.
Mm-hmm.
There were parts where it's like, if I bring this up, is this going to end the relationship? Mm-hmm. And so I was always hiding parts of myself. I was hiding parts of my struggle and putting on a mask of like, no, like I'm all good. I'm not struggling. And then when I would bring it up, it would be a bombshell.
Mm-hmm.
And then so it went back to me just retreating into, I'm not going to say anything because I was scared. But something Joe told me and Jordy was, they just talked about full honesty and vulnerability, like right from the get-go, from the start. And if they can't accept that, then they're not the one for you, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Because the next person will probably be like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, cool, I struggle too. Like, join the club. And it's more so, are you taking the steps in that struggle? Are you trying to get better? Are you trying to be more healthy? Or are you just like, okay, it's there?
Yeah, for sure. And I think I can see that even like before you started dating Mary, you were very vulnerable with everything that was going on. And I think you're carrying that in your relationship now. And just excited to see what God has for you as you, you know, go through this relationship, and what God has for Mary, and as you guys come together. Like, it's like you get excited for that person while they're in that relationship, but you're also excited for that relationship as a whole too. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just excited to see what God has for you guys individually and what he has for both of you guys together.
I'm excited. And then something else I just thought of is also being content with singleness.
Hmm.
I started dating someone when I was 13. Dated for 3 months as eighth grade. Relationships going into high school usually last. And then a couple months later, I dated a girl for a year. And then I had probably like 4 months of like single, because then I started texting other girls, like just inappropriately. And then I started dating someone a little bit after that. And then I went right back to just hitting up a bunch of girls, always texting girls. And then I got into my relationship with my ex. And then, so then I was in that relationship for three years officially, talked for like 7 months. And then after that, a couple months later, I almost got into another relationship. And then God like really hit me with a wave of like, stop. Like, I have to show you something. And so I'd spent the latter part of the year like single, and God really showed me that singleness isn't a curse, it's a gift. And it's actually great that I got to experience singleness, not just in a really long time, but also like as a Christian.
Yeah.
It's like I got to actually spend time with God and be like, okay, like God, here I am. Like, I can't be like, oh, I'm going to go hang out with my girlfriend. I can't spend time with you, God. It's like, you're single. You got nothing going on tonight.
Yeah. Like,
here you go. And so I actually got to really enjoy singleness. I found contentment in singleness. And for me, that's what God was really trying to show me. It was like, it's okay to be single. It's not a curse. Because I think in the Christian community, it's like, oh, cool. Like, let's just say like you're now an 18-year-old, like going out of high school and you're dating someone, you know, you can hear like Christian community, oh, ring by spring. Yeah. You know, 5 months. And it's like, you don't need to put pressure on that.
For sure. Yeah.
Like, there's no reason, like there's no pressure to get married at 19 and have your life figured out with that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's always like I even felt like pressure was just like figuring out a job, which is like off topic, but like there's always pressure from like the community around to like, hey, you know, you should be ready to do this. And I think you look around and see all these other people doing the right thing in quotes, but in reality, like everyone's figuring it out at once. So
yeah. I actually have a question. So you and your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Shout out Sarah.
From Danny. Shout out Sarah. Yep.
You guys met in middle school.
Yeah.
And then you started dating after you graduated.
Mm-hmm.
But how long did you guys like each other before? Like when did this talking start?
Yeah, so we started talking / liking each other the fall. It was like November of like 2020. But we had to wait. We had to wait for a little bit. And at the time, it was super hard. And I was like, you know, why can't we date? Why can't we like hang out? I mean, we were able to hang out, but like I just couldn't take her on a date, basically. And it was super hard. And I was like, you know, at the time, I was like, you know, I wish I could just like go on a date with her. And but then, I would say now I'm like super grateful for that. Because I would even say that I was ready at 16, 17, 18. Like, and I remember like Joe even asked me, like at that time I was growing with God a lot. Like with, it was kind of like with Sarah. Sarah was pushing me a lot to grow with God. And I remember I sat down with Joe this one time and I'm just like, yeah, I'm grateful. Like Sarah's like pushing me in ways like closer to God. And then Joe like asked me, he's like, what happens if like, you know, let's say Sarah and you break up or like you guys stop talking. He's like, are you going to continue to grow with God? Mm. And like, that was a reality check. I was like, oh dang, I should probably think about it. Like, am I doing this like for Sarah? Am I doing this for God? And that like, that was like a total check. And I can like confidently say like now and like even a few years ago, like I can confidently say that like, no, it's my faith. It's not my mom's faith. It's not Sarah's faith. I'm like confident in God, you know, with, you know, just that relationship that I have with him. It's no one's pushing me to do it. Like I enjoy it with like my own circumstances. Like no one's pushing me to do it. So, yeah, I would say like I'm grateful for that time that we had to pause on things. And then, you know, I'm also grateful for where we are right now and like where we're going and everything. So, yeah.
That's awesome. And that's really good advice.
Yeah.
It's like, it's okay if you got to wait a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
Don't rush. Keep growing with God.
Yeah. And I think also like what Joe even said to me, like I think everyone should ask you, like ask themselves, like, am I doing this for my parents? Like, am I loving God because my parents say it's a good thing to do, or am I doing it for this girl or boy because they're doing it? Because in reality, like it's not your own faith and you're doing it for people pleasing. You're doing it because you want to fit in. You're doing it because you want this relationship with this other person. Mm. But in reality, it should be your own faith. And so basically like check your heart on that, and try to make it your own faith and seek God, you know, alone.
Yeah. No, that's really good. Cause like that actually doesn't like made me think of my own journey. Cause like when she called me out for it, I said, all right, fine.
Yeah.
I'll pursue God. I was like, whatever. I didn't know what the heck that meant. Like I just said that cause she's like, we're about to break up. And I'm like, no. Like I'll pursue God.
Yeah.
And that was end of June. I didn't really give my life to the Lord until like September-ish, maybe October. And I think what a blessing was, like, I knew about Grace because of her, because she had attended here all her life, but she was at Kent. And so we had long distance. So it wasn't like I was just like, hey, let's just go to church together now. Like, there was none of that. It was, no, like, if I'm really serious about this, I have to do it on my own. Mm-hmm. It was actually a blessing because at the time my parents didn't attend Grace. They do now. Mm-hmm. My sister didn't attend Grace. I literally walked in here. I knew nobody. Mm-hmm. Like, I walked in Young Adults for the first time. I knew nobody.
Yeah.
And, like, it freaked me out. But it was honestly a blessing that I got the community and I got the growth and I got poured into the way I did because I made my faith my own.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if she was up here in the area and she wasn't at Kent, and I was like, all right, let's just go to church.
Right.
It would have been super shallow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be where I'm at now, like, with everything. And let's just say we still did end up breaking up. Who knows? Maybe I wouldn't even be a follower of God because I never made faith my own.
Yeah, for sure. It's really good. All right. Do you have anything else you want
to
add?
Back to the original question.
Back to the original question.
When are you ready to date? I don't jump into one immediately.
Yeah.
Like, if, like, you date someone for like 7 months, don't be that person a week later. Hey, I'm dating someone new. Like, that's never going to work. Just really take time with God. Like, really just grow with God and be like, am I becoming the person God wants me to be? Am I becoming close with him as he wants me to be? And I also think you'll know. You'll be at a point of, I'm mature enough. And really ask yourself the question, can I be honest with this person? Yeah. Can I tell them anything? And there honestly may always be relationship anxiety. Like, that's always a little nerve-wracking. Like, I felt that 2 months ago going into this new relationship. Like, I was really anxious, but I had a lot of peace about it. And I also talked to people, and I had people, like, affirming it. Like, no, like, you are in a good place. People that knew me really well. They're like, you're growing. Like, I think, go for it. Like, you're in a better place than you were a year ago.
Yeah. I would even, like, this just had, like, a thought came to my mind. Is, like, I think, like, a good time that you could even, like, just thinking, like, when you're content, basically, with being single. That's like a good time. And then, like, there, maybe there's someone that's you're maybe interested in, or they're interested in you. And that's when you can, like, think, like, okay, like, what happens if I do this? Like, you can, you know, is this, like, what are the pros of this? What are the cons of this? And then, like, what happens if I stay single? And then it's like, you can, if you're content with being single, then, like, then maybe that's when you can pursue a relationship. Because I think if you're just going out there and, like, okay, I just want a relationship. And then it's just like,
yeah. Okay. Something God challenged me with this. I don't remember how it came up. Like, I remember I was sitting there. Maybe someone said something to me, but, like, the thought came to mind of, like, saying to God, God, even if you never give me a wife, or, like, never, like, let me get into another relationship where I have a wife, or, like, anything, if I'm single the rest of my life, I'm still going to follow you. Hmm. Like, I prayed that. And that was scary. Yeah. Because I'm like, I don't want to be single the rest of my life. Right. Like, I'm like, I don't want that. Right. Like, I want a family. But, like, that's a point of, like, contentment and singleness. Like, God, even if I never get married, I'm still following you. God, even if I never get married, I'm still satisfied with you. You're all I need. Coming to a place of that, that's a dangerous prayer.
Yeah. Like,
not a sense of, like, harmful, but, like, that's a bold prayer.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
All right. Do you have anything else to add?
That's it.
That's it.
That's all I got. I said anything and everything.
Yeah. Well, Danny, I'm so grateful for you and excited for Life Conference and excited to see what God is going to do in your life at Moody and everything else after that. I hope we stay connected.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Dude, you're coming up to see me every weekend. Oh, yeah, of course you're going to be getting that. No, man. And you'll do great this second. Dude, being a second year here.
Dude, I'm the chief resident.
You're the chief resident now. You are the official, unofficial chief resident of Grace Residency.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Don't tell anyone.
Yeah. Self-appointed chief resident.
Yep.
You know, I'll appoint you. You're chief resident.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Yep. Now when people question, you can say, yeah, I appointed you.
Yeah, Danny. Guys, Danny did. He has a lot of authority.
He's in college.
All right. Thank you, Danny. Thank you, guys. We hope you have a good week, have a good day, and yeah, stay blessed. We love you. See you at the next one.
See you guys. That's Grace Youth Podcast. Yes, Grace Youth Podcast. Yes.
Yeah, it's Grace Youth Podcast. Yeah, it's Grace Youth Podcast.